Yeah, thank you for having me. My path to where I'm at now started about 26 years ago. And it was all real hands-on the way I started. None of this digital shit. I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to code. I really fell into that part. I had just been bumming around a bit after college. I had a little hustle where I was buying used stuff that I thought had a little bit of a margin. And I was fixing it up or cleaning it up and reselling it, flipping it, basically. I had bought a used minivan for $2,000. 2006 Toyota Sienna, gorgeous. And I thought I was so hot, you know. Leather seats, sunroof, my cherry red paint job, I was told. I was like, it looks green to me, but whatever. That's a different story. So with business from that minivan, I was able to rent small space in a warehouse. And I was selling mostly furniture, electronics, household appliances, that sort of thing. At this point, buying mostly from Craigslist, I would say. Estate sales, Craigslist. I'm bringing it into the city. And I did that for a number of years, and I could earn enough to pay rent. And I had a pretty good, stable life, you know, despite the atmosphere at the time, which was, it was real bad. But yeah, it was a great car. And around that time, me and my partner started talking about adopting a kid. We looked into it. $50,000 to adopt. My eyes popped out of my head and I said, oh, okay, thank you. We'll think about it. Not happening, you know. I was pulling like 26K a year at that point. But also, this was when shit really started to hit the fan in this country. You know, people were angry about their jobs. Crackdowns had started happening. All of that. It was a bad time. People you knew couldn't scrape together enough. And even if you were okay, you just didn't really know how long it would last. So the idea of bringing a kid into that, bad idea. It was tense. Some people were very active and vocal, and others were not, you know. Some people were more practical, more desperate. But it caused a lot of problems socially between people, all of that. And my partner and I broke up at some point. I was really, really hurt by that. But what I learned was when this stuff happens, life goes on, you get better, you got to be responsible for your own happiness, you got to be responsible for your own success, and just keep pushing, you know. And to be honest, my business was actually doing better than before. Because a lot of people were moving. And then, oh my God, a couple months later, you know, my life completely changed. A friend of mine says his friend had a kid. And he couldn't afford to take care of it. So knowing that I had been looking at adoption before, he asked me, would I like to take care of it? It was supposed to be temporary, and I thought, oh, shit. You know, doing this on my own was not exactly what I had in mind, but maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I said yes. And I started raising my son, and I realized that I needed more money, like right away. So that is really what lit a fire under my ass and forced me to transform how I did business. Yeah, let's talk about the business. I know that's what you guys are here to talk about, right? I found that as sales were growing, one of the main problems with my setup was that I was spending way too much money and time on the road doing these pickups. I was wasting so much time in traffic, you know, go out to Jersey to buy stuff on Craigslist. And it takes 3 hours to get back from that trip, you know. It was horrible. And I mean, I really couldn't keep doing it in that way. On top of that, I have my son. I'm trying to take him along and also trying to get him diapers, trying to get formula. All that took time. Oh my God. It was a mess. And I would love to sit here and say that I pulled myself out of it, figured out a new way to make money. But that's not really how it went. And I think it's important that entrepreneurs are honest and own up to when they get help. Most business people I know have at least somebody they could fall back on when things get really hard. And for me, my grandmother passed away at that time and left me $25,000. She was real proper, stingy old Southern lady. And it was completely a surprise. But even so, to a lot of people, that wasn't so much money back then. But for me, almost a year of pay. So it was a major lifeline. And I took it. I ran with it. And I made something of it, you know. I used it to put a down payment on one of the first Mercedes Sprintex vans. Basically was really the first fully auto cargo van, no driver, no passenger. It had enough space for most of the stuff that I was buying at the time, and it was great. It totally changed the whole thing for me because I could just be at the warehouse, maybe making sales, you know, and the car would go out and do the pickups for me. People selling had to be able to load into the van. But that was usually fine, almost better, because people did not want you coming in their house anyway. So the van figures out the fastest routes. From one drop off to another, one pick up to another. It was awesome. It was like employee of the month. It made it so I could basically run the whole thing myself for a couple of years. And I had that first van I probably had for 10 years. Bought a second Sprinter about 5 years in. I was doing that. I was able to make a good living for some time. For a while, there was still big market for used items. You know, older people had a lot of stuff still. Houses full of stuff. You almost forget now, but it was hard to sell it if you didn't know how to. And there were trust issues. Like I said, having people come over your place. So my method with the Sprinter was a good way to do it. And my system was simple. Basically, anybody could have done it. Doesn't take a genius to come up with that idea. But as time passed, though, you know, I was finding that the people I was buying from, older people, sick people, you know, people who were on hard times, basically, it was getting to a point where people sometimes could not help carry the furniture or the scrap or whatever it was I was buying off them out to the van to load it. So I needed to find a different way to get stuff loaded in, you know, more reliable. So for a while, I had to hire these two dudes as movers, you know, with all the problems that go along with that. But I was already using some SERP help in the warehouse. Basically, the earliest model when Amazon started selling their fulfillment bots for consumer use, which was good, but it wasn't so different from like an auto lift. You could only use it on the warehouse floor. The arms would only go up so high. But I had a buddy in SERP sales who kept me up to date as that field was developing. And thank God for him, because he set me up with a couple of the Okio 3s when they first hit the States. And for younger listeners, it was really the first SERP with two legs that could walk on uneven ground, could lift up to 100 pounds. Yeah. And now the genius of those Okios was that they were responsive, could kind of learn from anyone, you know, even from a bum like me. I could start adapting them, molding them, without getting into the coding side of it. They were also mostly designed for warehouses, but after I worked for them, for a while, they got good at doing what I needed them to do. They get up into people's houses, people's garages, and they could load the stuff into the van, carrying a couch downstairs around the corner, you know, for example. And that is what actually made me realize that they could probably move people in and out of their house too. And that's why I started the moving business. First, we put just one sprinter, two Okios doing that. And there was some demand from regular people, not too much, but we started doing some odd jobs for the housing court system, people who had been through there, and kind of a big break came with a contract with city marshals to do that same type of move out. We were the first company contracted to do it with all SERP labor, which was pretty cool. And I think the city just found it easier to do it that way. Less mess, less drama. So that side of the business really took off. And if I do say so myself, in my little corner that I was in with the SERPs, which was, you know, moving and carrying heavy objects and kind of complex spaces, I got really good at the training. You know, I was finding that they recall the stuff better if you were a bit harsh with them. Like, you had to kind of discipline them a bit, as crazy as that sounds, but you're trying to teach them what they can and what they can't do. Teach them how to be in the world, you know, almost like raising a kid. And my SERP dealer was like, how are you getting them to do all this stuff? This is nuts. We don't have anybody else doing this stuff with their Okios. So he connected me up with his guy at the home company, and I started doing some work with them, you know, on training here and there. And at some point they offered me a consulting job in the sort of fine motion behavior team. So I was making good money at that point, you know, really good money. And two businesses were basically still running themselves on the side at the same time. No, I have time. I don't have anywhere to be. I'll tell you, I spent a lot of that money I spent on sending my kid to all these sorts of good schools, you know. And it has become clear in the last 10 years how important that was, so I do feel happy about that, but he hated them. He really hated them. Yeah, I think he felt pretty out of place, you know, not too many kids from the same background as him, and I don't know. They say looking back, you're supposed to have 20/20 vision, you know, but the truth is, at that time, I didn't know how to help him, and I still don't, and I didn't have enough time to figure it out. I tried to treat him fair. I tried to treat him like my dad treated me. And I said, go in there proud, strong, and you'll show him you were just the same as everybody else. Meanwhile, though, I'm sacrificing a lot to send him there. And he's complaining. kids don't understand how hard it is to make money. You know, that's the bottom line. I don't have advice about the best way to talk to them about it. I don't think I have ever really figured it out. Don't let your kids get too smart. We'll come back to bite you in the ass. He started being defiant with me. He's telling me this or that he saw in the news about what the Serbs were responsible for doing to people, or, you know, then it was what people were doing to the Serbs. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea. And I tell you, as soon as the public DNA data was released in 39, he was right on top of it. And I get it, you know, it didn't feel good, but I get it. I mean, he's adopted, living with me out in Long Island at that point, not too much contact with people outside of this little, you know, like little rich ass town. And he found some stuff though that he was not happy with, about what had happened to his folks. Mind you, I was not aware of any of that. But he also found stuff about my family, what my grandma's family had done in the past, all those years back, and what I had done, ultimately taking the 25K. To him, it was all tainted. Although, of course, I had no clue at the time, and which I had used it to start this little business, you know. I used it to support him. So I said, you gotta let it go, you know? And I'm asking him, what does he want me to do? Does he want me to give it back? But, you know, it's so hard, actually, to watch it. I watched him change the way he thought about me. Or I saw in his eyes, I could see that he saw me different than he had before. And it's like, you can just tell one day. You can look into somebody's eyes who used to look up to you, love you, all that. And you can see that it's not there. And if you're like me, you know, then you push back. I mean, don't be like me, but I remember I was at his high school graduation, and he just would barely look at me. And, you know, I had taken time off to be there, support him. And I grabbed him by the shoulder, shook him a little bit, and I said, stop ignoring me. You don't treat family this way. In the end, all we have is family, you know. And I could just see it didn't. I could have said anything, and it wouldn't have changed how he thought. And you know, the way he and I are related, you don't have that leverage where you can say, we're the same. You know, my flaws are your flaws. And that is why you hate them so much in me. Anyway, it's not easy.